Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here today. God has indeed blessed us in a tremendous way. Thinking about that this week as we celebrated Thanksgiving and had some time to think about all that God has blessed us with. We indeed live in a country that has been blessed with great wealth. Don't we have so much stuff? Think about, we're getting ready to celebrate the holiday of stuff in just about a month here. And it's in that frame of mind. I want to think about a passage in Mark chapter 10. If you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. This will be our springboard for our thoughts today. But I want to consider this example. We talked about example this morning in Bible class, and here we have an example of a young man teaching us a valuable lesson, a tough lesson. Notice, if you will, Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 17, says, "Now as he, Jesus Christ, was on the road, one came running, knelt down before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" So you've got this young man, he's running to Jesus. He is eager to hear what Jesus will say, how he will answer his questions. Jesus says to him, verse 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Jesus is God, so he is good. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Notice there, Jesus isn't asking a question. He already knows this about this young man. He's not got to the question yet, but you can imagine the young man's excitement when he says in verse 20, "And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth.'" He must be feeling pretty good at this point. I heard exactly what I was expecting to hear. This is a good young man. But notice, verse 21, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." Some texts, some of the other gospels give the idea of Jesus looked at this young man and felt a deep sorrow for this young man because he's gotten to his answer. Jesus is going to answer his question with a question. "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Could that be said of us? Life is about values, what we value. What is in our life that we hold most dear? We'd like to say God, right? Hopefully that's the true answer. Maybe it's God. Sometimes we say our children, our spouse, our family. Those are all valuable things. If we were honest, would we be like this young man? What kind of hold do our possessions have on us? See, it is not what we have, but it is what has us. This young man was blessed by God, by the way, to have all of those things. And at this point in his life, those things were more valuable to him than serving God what is most valuable to us. We have so very much. Even those who may not have as much as others, you still in this country have a lot. We have lots and lots of stuff. This morning, I want us to think about this and to think about the dangers of wealth, the danger of possession. The first thing I want us to think about today is that wealth can become a temptation and a snare. This young man had a lot, and it led him into a temptation, into a fall. I don't know what happened to him. I pray that he repented of his sin and returned to God. But what if that was required of us? What would our answer be? Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," the church. "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your heart is," what is your truest desire? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it you desire? This young man's heart, his desire was for things of this earth. He had not established himself treasures in heaven. Jesus is reminding us of the fleeting pleasures of treasures. Notice what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul writes to Timothy, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Oh, if we could all be godly with contentment. That is maybe the apex of Christian maturity. But notice as he continues, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Man, sometimes we like to think that, look at what I have accomplished. Look at what I have done. We look at our bank accounts and we look and we say, whoa, look at what I have been able to put away. We look in our homes and we look and say, look at what all I've been able to purchase. We consider our retirement accounts and we think about all we've been putting away. We look and we look and we consider what we have done. We have missed the boat. Those things are not there because we put them there. God has blessed us with those things. It's a dangerous thing to fall in love with our stuff. Notice, "And having food and clothing," 1 Timothy 6:8, "with these things we shall be content," are we? "But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare." Why? "Into many foolish and harmful lusts which draw men in destruction and perdition." Notice, "for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Why does it not say for money is the root of all evil? Because money is just a material thing. The love is what's in you and me. That's what grows out of us. It is our love, our desire for those things, which is the root of all kinds of evil. Men will do all kinds of things to attain it. Look at the myriad examples within Scripture. Look at the myriad of examples within our own culture. What men and women are willing to do, how they're willing to use their bodies, their minds, how they're willing to behave in certain ways which are gross and sinful, all in the pursuit of the mighty dollar, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Man, it doesn't just affect the world, but it is all in the church as well. We're human beings. Becoming a Christian does not remove temptation from our life. Those who go for money, who pursue money in spite of their faith, will lose their faith. He ends it by saying, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those who go after those things, those worldly things, never find fulfillment. Those things will never give you what you're looking for. The reality is only God can provide those things. That's why Jesus says to his disciples in Mark chapter 10, verse 23, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Why is it so difficult? He goes on to give that illustration about the camel and entering the eye of the needle. It's a difficult thing for those who love what they have to become a child of God. Because what does that take? Humility. It takes us giving up what in our previous life we held most dear. So Jesus reminds his disciples, as he does to us, our reliance shouldn't be on what we have. It's not in the substance of what we've been blessed with, but we need to remember who provided what we have. That's why he says in Matthew 7:7 and verse 8, ask and it will be given to you. By whom? By God above. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. God is the great provider. We need to remember that. We need to realize that. We need to realize that nothing earthly will last forever. Sometimes I think we think we can hold on to these things, that these things can somehow buy us eternity. We get so short-sighted. We think today is it. And I'm just looking about today. I'm taking care of today, man. The older I get, the more I realize there's that end coming. And the further I get down the road, the closer it's getting. And one day I'm going to hit that wall. And that's going to be it. In Acts chapter 20. Acts 8. The Ethiopian eunuch. But before that, we read about another example. A man, a Simon the magician, who becomes a Christian. God sends the Holy Spirit down on those Christians in Samaria through the hands of the apostles. Simon sees what's going on, and old Simon starts to wake up. Remember, he was supposed to be dead and buried in baptism. He didn't all get buried. And he goes to Peter and he asked Peter, you know, let me give you some money and then you can give me this gift as well. He wants to buy the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter says to him. Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Does God care one iota about how much money you make? No, because he's the one that gives it to you. He's also the one that can take it away. He doesn't care about how much money you got or don't have. Your money perish with you. If we fall in love with our money, with our things, you will perish with those things. you will be destroyed with those things. The earthly things are fleeting, are perishing. Matthew 6:19. This is Matthew's account of the passage we looked at earlier in Luke. But here, I want you to notice again what he says. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Isn't it nice to have stuff? Is it nice to be comfortable? Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. All this stuff, it's all got a date, an expiration date on it. Maybe you go to the refrigerator and you get out that carton of milk. You look for that expiration date, don't you? Nothing worse than drinking a little milk at a couple of days old. Oh. I watched my dad drink a whole, we used to get those cartons of milk. Drink one of those, and I looked at the date later, and I said, did you not notice what you just drank? He didn't. Don't give me milk on the day of. It's time to go. All this stuff has an expiration date on it. So he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Man, we've been studying the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, and I love the book of Hebrews. And he's talking about in there that the ending of the old covenant and the beginning of the new under Christ. And he's talking about how all those things in the old covenant were all shadows of what was in heaven. They're all copies on earth of what's in heaven. All those copies are vanishing away, he says, but the thing that's real is what's in heaven. That's so true in every area of life. What is real isn't what you see. It defies the mind, I know. But none of this is real. None of it's lasting. This building, as nice as it is, and we've made all these improvements, you know, one day it's all going to burn up. Notice what Peter writes. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Reminding us that but, you know, he's just talked about in verse 9 about the long suffering of God, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. So he's holding off on the second coming of Christ. But the day of the Lord will come. Not may come. It will come when God so chooses. But it will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. You want to talk about what fire does? Talk to Si about a house fire or any kind of fire. I mean, fire is, it destroys. It burns up. All this you see around us, all this one day is going to be gone. It's going to burn up. Are we going to burn up with it? Are we going to be there clinging to our stuff as it burns? See, it's not what you have. It really is what has you. What is it you hold on to? What is it that you won't let go of? Luke chapter 12. The text tells us, then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. God blessed him. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? You can already see he's in a little bit of trouble. It's my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You do have a very, very precious possessions. Your soul. Are we giving it the kind of effort we give to other areas of our life? The way we tend our house, our car, our bank account, our things, our hobbies? How much thought do we give to that? I want to notice, I'll come back to Matthew 6, but I'm going to go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. You remember, he kept talking about as he was looking at his crops, he kept saying, my crops, my barn, my crops, my goods. The only thing he really owned in that whole thing was my soul. All the rest of that was God's. And God was going to come back and repossess all those other things. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Man, we do all kinds of things in the medical world about trying to save our physical bodies. Science has, and the medical field, does wondrous things. Things that used to be terminal, things that would bring us to a quick end physically. Science, the medical field, does tremendous things with those. We put billions and billions of dollars into medicine every year, all in the hopes of elongating our lives. And we have made them somewhat longer, haven't we? But you know what? You're still going to die. Methuselah lived over 900 years and he still died. We can extend them. Maybe one day, I don't think we're too far a long way from getting to 100 years average. You know what? You're still going to die. That end will still come. Now, I'm all for medical treatments and helping people who are suffering. I'm glad we've made so many advancements in those things. But if we're paying more attention to our physical well-being than we are our spiritual well-being, we're in trouble. We are terminal, and we don't even know it. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. What are you willing to give up for God? But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If we give it up to God, we'll get it back tenfold. But that takes some faith. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Esau gave up his soul, gave up his birthright for a bowl of porridge. That's how little he held it in regard. How little do we hold our souls in regard for? That was his birthright. That was his inheritance. He gave that up for a bowl of soup. Do we give up our souls for a lot less? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Doug read for us 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. In other words, if I'm wanting to plant a garden and I go out and I throw down just a few seeds, I cannot expect a whole acre of crops, can I? I'm only going to get what I invest. If I only invest a little in my soul, I'm not going to get much back. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, therefore, let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. You know, our giving, we gave this morning, gave a contribution back to God. How much time and effort did we take in thinking about that offering? Or is that just what was ever in my pocket? Let me find, get my wallet out. I got a 20 in there, I'm okay. Is that purposing in your heart? See, these things need to be thought out. We need to take time to consider what we're giving to God. God doesn't want our leftovers. Cain learned that answer, didn't he? Have we learned it? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What are we giving to God and how are we giving it? What motivates us? It is not what you have. It is what has you. Does God have you? Or does something else? Nothing else can take the place of God and still expect to receive the blessings of God. This morning, I want you to take some time and consider what it is in your life that has you. What is it that you cling to? We'd all like to say, I cling to Jesus, right? That'd be great. I don't think that's true. Not all the time. What do you have that's most important in your life? What are you willing to give up for it? What has you? This morning, this hasn't been a lesson about the gospel, but at least maybe will help us to think about the gospel and about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. That rich young ruler, that rich young man, had to make a decision about what ruled his life. See, his goods, his possessions, what he thought he owned, that's what had him, not Jesus. Maybe in your life, that's what has you, but you don't want to live like that any longer. Are you willing to give those things up for God? Are you willing to obey the gospel? We'd love to help you in doing that. Maybe you're a child of God who has fallen back in love with those old things. Maybe like Simon, you need to be reminded that if you hold on to those things, if those things possess you, then you will perish with them. That's a scary, scary thought. May none of us fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:30-31. This morning, as you consider your soul, do you need to respond? We give this opportunity as we stand and sing.